Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the Gospel for this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. We hear especially the first part of it. Immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. So what was Jesus doing poking around here in Galilee? If Jerusalem was equivalent to our New York, Los Angeles, Galilee was the farmland in the hill country, the place where the folks who didn't quite always fit in the big city went to live. Galilee was the homeland of Jesus and of almost all of his disciples. What he was doing here was what he had been called to do. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, comfort the afflicted. He was the one who was fulfilling the Lord's prophecy. Those who waited for the Lord will renew their strength, mounting up with wings like eagles. He touched people. He talked to people. He healed people. Those who have been lifetime sick, crippled, blind, deaf. Those who were afflicted by mental illness, those upon whom the power of Satan rested, all of them were in need of healing. Jesus was doing this because, first of all, the Father sent him to do this, or he wouldn't have been there. It was necessary because he was proving with his actions the truth of his own words. By what authority did he do these things? By the same authority that he spoke the words. And by what authority did he speak the words? By the same that he cast out the demons. By the same that he healed. It was necessary because it was part of fulfilling all righteousness, just as his baptism was. Just as he in his baptism had taken sins upon himself, so all of these things go rolling out one thing after another. His temptation, his calling the disciples, and his reaching out and healing other people. He who had been tormented by Satan was now challenging Satan on his home turf. He who knew what physical pain and hunger was like was now reaching out to the spiritually hungry and the physically hurting and bringing health and healing to each and every one of them. He who was holy and perfect was reaching out to bring holiness to those whose imperfections were apparent to everyone. And here we are. With all of these anonymous people that Jesus reached out and touched and spoke to, we find one with whom we can identify a little bit more closely because we know her boy. Simon, a.k.a. Peter, came with his brother and James and John, the Thunder Boys, to Peter's home. And Simon's mother-in-law was lying there sick. And they told Jesus. We don't know if it was a bad fever. We don't know how long she had been sick. We don't know if this was a life-threatening condition. But that wasn't important. The important thing was is that they came to Jesus as soon as they found out about it. Simon and Andrew say, hey, mom's sick. Let's go tell Jesus. Look what he's been doing for everyone else. And as soon as they did, he came, took her by the hand, lifted her up, and the fever left her. Not even any words, it seems like, right here, but just helped her out of bed. Or helped her probably off the mat that was rolled out on the floor, which was our customary way to sleep back then. And as she came to her feet, the fever fell away. And she was healthy and well and whole. He had saved her. Just as he had been serving the Father by healing others, just as he had been serving the Father by casting out demons, just as he served the Father by forgiving sin, so also he served the Father by bringing health to the mother-in-law of Peter. Why? Because that's what he did. Because he is the author of health. He is the great physician of soul and body. He is the servant of the Father who took our infirmities upon himself that he might heal us. He came into the world not just to forgive sins in the abstract, but to apply that forgiveness to each person who would receive it, and in many of his miracles, to give proof and down payment on the complete healing that every one of us will experience in the resurrection. Just as Peter's mother was raised up off the floor, so we will be raised out of our graves. Just as those whose bodies are twisted and torn because of physical injury, because of birth defect, because of some congenital disorder, because of illness. Every one of those, no matter what reason, who believe in their Savior, will not only be healed permanently in spirit and made holy before the Lord forever and ever, but they will be living in and as bodies that are perfect and holy. Bodies that will not fail. Bodies that will not deteriorate. Bodies that will ever be able to do the thing that God intended them to do from the beginning. And that's important. Because the sickness that each one of us faces, including Peter's mother-in-law, is a sickness brought on only by sin. If you want to know whether or not you are a sinner, you don't only have to look to the Ten Commandments. You can look to your medicine cabinet. Because if there's blood pressure medicine, if there's cholesterol medicine, if there's heart medicine, if there's seizure medicine, if there's pain medicine, if there's fever medicine, if any of those or others are there, then you are a sinner. Because it is those things that give testimony, just as your words, just as your actions do to the world that surrounds you, that you are not perfect. And those hidden diseases that lurk within us are like the sins that we still just think about, or that we have hidden away. They are not apparent to everyone, but God sees them. He can see the little kernel of covetousness that sits in the corner of your heart just as clearly as he can see the first cells that are starting to malform themselves into cancer, and he dislikes either one. And he realizes that both have the same source. We are born sinful and unclean. And he came to save us from both that spiritual cancer that eats away until we are nothing at all, but also the physical cancers that eat away at us until we are nothing at all. He not only creates in us a new heart and renews a right spirit as far as our faith, as far as our forgiveness is concerned, but also he came to give us a new heart physically that we might eat and not worry about our arteries clogging, that we might touch, taste, and see whatever is laid before us and not worry about the toxins, that we might run and not grow weary, that we might work. He brings us forgiveness, but he also brings us healing. The forgiveness is complete and absolute. The healing is a continuing factor in our lives until we are raised from the dead. And we will be raised from the dead and called into the heavenly places because of the absolute and complete forgiveness that we have. And the final testimony of that, just like the testimony of validated Jesus preaching, is that our bodies will be perfect. Christ-like. But Jesus doesn't apply all of this health and healing only so that we can have a sign that in heaven everything will be right with our body. But he brings us health and healing right now. He served the Father in healing us. He served the Father in saving us, not only because we were broken and needed salvation, but also because God wanted us then to turn around and serve others. And here we have a wonderful illustration. Jesus brings healing to Peter's mother-in-law. She is helped to her feet by him, and then she turns around and starts helping them. Here, boys, have something to eat. Have a little drink. Sit down. Let me clear that clutter out of the way for you. Can I put some soup on you? Would you like seconds? Imagine that. When I'm brought back from a fever, it's something that still sticks with me for a time. If I've been sick, I'm not well immediately. I don't feel like getting out of bed and doing the things I was doing right away. But when Jesus heals, the healing is complete. And she not only has the strength to do it, but she has that in her heart and her mind to do it. The healing that came upon her body is a healing that also caused her to want to serve the one who had served her. And so with us. Remember in the garden, God didn't make Adam and say, sit around on your fanny and do nothing. He gave him a couple of commandments. Don't eat from that tree. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth and have dominion over it. In other words, work. Be a gardener and extend this garden out into the rest of what I have created on this world. And just because we have fallen into sin does not excuse us from work in the everyday world. And we can't do that when we are physically incapacitated. He also wants us to serve our neighbor. Because with sin in the world, we find people who are worse off than we are. People who are impoverished. People who have no roof over their head or no food for their bellies. People who are in prison. People who suffer all sorts of diseases. People who suffer political oppression. People who suffer satanic oppression. And however we can, whenever we encounter them, as well as in our prayers and in our offerings, the Lord calls us to reach out in service to every one of them. We cannot save them from their sins, but we can testify to the Savior who saves us. And who also desires to save them. We can give also a down payment on their health and healing, while at the same time showing them the one who heals us. Peter's mother-in-law knew what she could do to serve Jesus. She prepared a place, got some food, and gave it to them. But you aren't Peter's mother-in-law, and Jesus doesn't come in and plop himself down in your living room. At least I haven't heard any of you tell me that. But you already have heard the words of forgiveness. By faith, you cling to the promise that all of your sins are taken away. You know that in your baptism, everything was washed away, and as you return to your baptismal promise, those sins again depart. Jesus has visited you. He has healed you. He has taken away the sins that afflict you. So now, as you stand up, hey, the fever's gone. The devil has left. I'm well. I'm healthy. How will I serve my Lord? How do you see Jesus in your life? Is it a neighbor in need? Is it people across the world who, when you see that particular commercial on television, your heart is touched, but sometimes your heart and your wallet don't connect? Is it those who are dying without the gospel, far away or very close by? Jesus is in all of those people, awaiting your service to him as he has served you. He invites you to reach out and touch the hearts, the minds, and the bodies of everyone in need, and particularly those who you know well, to reach down and lift up that next person who suffers something where you can bring aid and comfort, to reach out and wrap your arms around the next person who you know who needs comfort, to fill the bellies with food of those who are hungry while also then filling their ears with the words, God loves you. Jesus saves you. He forgives you all of your sins. We cannot work the miracles that Jesus could, but we can still work a miracle of faith in giving away those things that sit in our own lives. A little bit of the money, a little bit of the food, a little bit of the time. God doesn't remake us to sit on our backside to do nothing either. He still wants us to go out and subdue the earth and have dominion over it. Not by turning it into a wasteland, but rather by turning to its people and removing them from the wasteland, of giving them hope, of giving them health, of giving them healing. Even if we aren't doctors or nurses, even if we aren't pastors and teachers and evangelists and missionaries, even if we are not those who can cast out demons, we can support those who do, we can feed those in need, and we can bring medicine to the ones who are suffering without it. But most of all, in our own lives, we can confess the fact that Jesus has healed us. That we were dirty, rotten, horrible, miserable, going to hell sinners. And the fever and the affliction and the paralysis and the corruption and the cancer of that illness is taken away. That we have the new heart. That we have the right spirit. That we have not only the knowledge and the wisdom, but the will. And we will do everything that we can to give thanks to the Lord who saved us. Our worship only begins here as we hear that our sins are forgiven, as we celebrate our baptism, and as we receive the food of faith and the Lord's Supper, but it continues as we go out. Because every time that we remember that we are healed by Jesus and then turn to bring health and healing and service to someone else, we continue our worship to our Heavenly Father. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And love of God and love of neighbor is also the service that He calls us to have, just as His Son served us. God grant that we who have been healed by Christ our Savior might then bring that healing Christ to others, might bring the love of the Father that also would feed the hungry and clothe the naked and house those without homes to them. God grant that not only we see things that need to be done, but also desire to be part of that help and that healing and then bring to fruition that God moves us to do. For the sake of His Son, Jesus, who suffered all that we might be free from suffering forever and ever. Amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you steadfast in Christ Jesus through life everlasting. Amen.